What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Vital Masculinity Podcast. I am your host, Stephen Sloyer, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Brian Murphy for a very special episode, I may add. Mr. Murphy, how are you doing on this wonderful day, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited about this. I feel like I keep saying that every time we do an episode now. But I think this is a momentous occasion because this is our one-year anniversary and our 50th episode, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And, you know, okay, let's be honest. For full disclosure, we're recording this 5 days early, so it's a little bit of feigned enthusiasm. But just the fact that we've made it to a year, and I should specify that it's a year from our first, not our teaser, that was released back in May of 2019. It'll be a year from our first actual episode, Introduction to Vital Masculinity, which really kicked off this whole shebang. And it's been really a wonderful year. I mean, you think about all the things that have happened. We've released about 50 episodes, like you said. We have a journal that we released at the beginning of the COVID quarantine. So actually, I guess it was the end of March. So I guess that's kind of the beginning, middle, whenever it was. But we have a journal with five different authors and about 30, 35 posts on that. We have had three different esteemed guests on for interviews, which I don't think, you know, you and I were not even planning on doing those sorts of things. And we've gotten a couple of series. And I think, you know, we have a lot more content planned coming up. So there is a very bright future ahead unless we get abducted by a bunch of anarcho-communists or something like that with everything that's going on in the nation.
You never know. But yeah, I agree about the interviews. I mean, I think that was something that we had planned like way down the road. And it was just really cool to see the growth we've had this year and, you know, getting people collaborating with us. I think that's just a it just goes to show you how much people recognize the importance of this mission, the importance of rejecting this whole idea of toxic masculinity and realizing that, you know, it's vital to be a man, a traditional man, a classical man, a man who appreciates and his father's legacy that has been left behind for him, and a man who wants to protect his family, protect his community, and contribute to it. And yeah, that's what we're here for.
It's been really great. And, you know, let me also thank you guys because you've really put us into the top 1 or maybe 5% of podcasts. I don't want to say we're top 1%. And not just in terms of, you know, listens, because we've been doing really fantastically well, particularly even more so, which I'm kind of surprised since less people are commuting with the pandemic going on. But, you know, not many podcasts. I think it's only about 5% of them actually make any money. And we have been blessed to have been making a steady stream of income that is also increasing with our views. And it's not like it's paying bills for us yet. This is not a full-time job. But just that over 1 year, you know, I think we've made more than we expected. And it really is a blessing because, you know, we're doing this all just out of basically a vocational sense from us. You know, this is something that we felt called to do for a while. And Brian, you and I have collaborated on other projects before, but this is the longest lasting one. And it's also the one that has ever gotten, you know, the most steam. So I'm very pleased with where we're at and our future plans, which we're going to talk a little bit about tonight in our debrief, as well as do some reminiscing.
You're totally right about, you know, we've worked on, I can't even remember, it's like 3, 4, 5 different projects. I'm losing track at this point, but most of those did not last more than a few months. So, and to be honest, even though this is our 1 year anniversary, we've actually been working on this almost for 2 years. I think I bought the original domain name back in like August or something like that of 2018. And we spent 6 to 8 months just planning and preparing and getting our first episodes ready. So we put a lot of effort into this, and you know, we would love to make some money. So if you'd like to donate, that would be fantastic. But yeah. I think this is something that this is something we're passionate about, and we would be doing this whether or not we were making money. And I think that just goes to show you why, you know, we have gone and done this for a whole year, and I think we have many years ahead of us.
I definitely agree. There's been a lot of stuff that was kind of unexpected, both in terms of the support and just, you know, the direction that I think things have gone, both in the country as well as, you know, the world and the podcast. It's crazy to think, you know, we've been basically working on this for 2 years and a bit of a background story. And Brian and I, neither of us have done podcasts before. Neither of us have been on guests on podcasts before this. So I think the first time we hit record, you know, there was about a 5 second, you know, gap before I was going to kick things off. And I think Brian just started cracking up because, you know, it's weird. You're sitting in a room talking to a microphone, staring at a computer screen. And, you know, like I stare at computer screens all day. Brian, you stare at computer screens all day. It's just a different thing, though, because, you know, we put money into all this equipment and all the other stuff. And it's just weird. You know, at the end of the day, it's just weird. You guys are listening all over the country, all over the world, really. I think we've hit, I know you keep a map, Brian. I forget exactly how many countries and states we're in, but we've hit so many other places all around the world. And that support's incredible. But the fact that you guys are listening to us sitting in our home offices talk about a very classical and ancient subject is a blessing, and it's motivational for us. But it's still just weird at face value.
We've hit about 20% of territories across the world, so that's pretty awesome. One-fifth of the world. I mean, obviously not one-fifth of people, but that would be pretty cool if we did that too. But yeah, I'm just surprised and shocked that people from even different countries are listening to us, even people just all across the United States. I don't think we've hit every state yet, but we're getting pretty close. And you know, one of the things that is just shocking to me is that the number of listens that we've had, especially in the past like 4 or 5 months, because I think I was telling Steven earlier today that we hit about almost 700 in the first 6 months or so. And then since then, we've another 6 months or so, we've almost doubled that. We're at about 2,000 listens at this point. So you know, yeah, we're, you know, 600, 700 listens in the first month, and then another 1,300 in the next 6 months. I'd say that's some pretty good growth.
I definitely agree. And we've had a lot of great feedback too. We only really started using Twitter. I think we made the handle back in July of last year, and we only really started utilizing it in the end of February, beginning of March this year. We've, you know, grown pretty much exponentially there, especially recently. You know, and honestly, I think that's something that's important to talk about. We've mentioned world events a bit, mainly related to the pandemic, but I think you do have a lot of people that are being pushed to us, particularly in the past, you know, week or 2 weeks since the beginning of June, where they're looking for strong male leadership. They're looking for, you know, things that they may not have been taught in school, that you know, women are not all great and men are all evil. And that's not to say women are bad. I don't want to get into that. But, you know, like this kind of common notion that's being taught today that, you know, men are bad, or that men have some inherent privilege or things like that, or that men shouldn't be strong. And I think what we're seeing in the world today, to not get too specific about it, is really just the fact that we do have a very large lack of leadership, and particularly a very large lack of male leadership. There's a lot of men that are afraid to be strong. There's a lot of men that are afraid to be, you know, strong prudently, I'll say, or be courageous about these actions. And it's kind of vindicating in a certain way that, you know, for us at least, we're here talking about virtue and how to be a virtuous man. And this is something that the lack thereof has caused a lot of crises. And it's not even just now, it's just throughout history. The lack of virtuous, the lack of prudent, the lack of, you know, courageous and just leadership has really done a number on not just men and their families, but just civilization and countries as well.
One of the challenges for men, and probably just anyone living in this current climate, is always feeling like you have to qualify everything you say. And I think it's important to be precise, to be accurate in what you're saying. But I think everyone's just hyper aware of, like, someone is out there, they're listening, they're waiting for an opportunity to be upset, to be outraged, to maybe even, like, come after your job and your family and try to get you fired just because they disagree with you. And it's just absurd. But I think that's why, and I know you and I are both working on this, but that's one thing that you feel like you have to qualify everything you say. Like, oh, well, I didn't mean that. Well, you know, I didn't really mean this. And I think that that's something that you know, whether or not you realize like that specific problem, we realize that, you know, people are hypersensitive and at the same time, like looking to lash out at you. And I think it's just confusing and it's something that we're looking for an answer to because we realize there's something wrong there. And hopefully we're helping to provide people with a view into what it looks like to be a man, to stand up to those types of things and to be virtuous. And hopefully we're looking for other men to join us, to help, to teach us, to show us what it looks like and to encourage us. And hopefully we can be an encouragement to them as well.
Yeah. So would you say that that is something that you've learned, or at least, you know, learned how to practice a little more in this past year?
I've been working on it. I think it's tough because, you know, especially when, so like the past few episodes, we've been talking about feminism and I feel like I can't say anything about it without someone being like, oh, well, you hate women, you're sexist, this or that. And that's one thing that people just are looking for an opportunity to take and put words in into your mouth. They're not interested in learning and understanding who you are and what you believe. They just want to take what you say at face value and then just put whatever lens they want onto it and say, oh, well, this is what you really mean, or this is what you really believe. See, you said this, but that means you're sexist, or that means you're racist, or that means you're this or that. And yeah, I think a lot of people today are, you know, we're tired of it, but we've been so conditioned by it that it's hard to act confident, to speak confidently, and actually have a conversation with someone because it seems like everyone is just looking for an opportunity to be upset, to attack you. And I think, sure, that's part of being a man, is realizing that, you know, you got to stand up. You have to fight. You have to stand up for yourself. And as a man, you're probably going to be attacked because, you know, we're on the front lines, or we should be on the front lines. And yeah, I feel like we could have a whole episode on that. So I don't know what else to go into there, but yeah.
I mean, like full disclosure on my end, you know, the past, I'll say 2 or 3 weeks, really, once, maybe, I guess it's a little less than that, but when we published our first feminism episode, and I remember, Brian, you and I think I texted you before we did our second wave feminism. I was like, I texted you in the morning. I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be a good episode. I'm really heated. You know, I'm like passionate about this stuff because I have seen, you know, I've seen firsthand in so many ways the way that can be destructive, not just to men, you know, but to families, to the fabric of society and civilization. You know, but it kind of hit me afterwards that I'm saying things that are basically to a lot of people wrong think, and to a lot of people with power wrong think. And, you know, I think that there is, like you said, there's a very clear and you know, present trend of people that are saying, you know, anything that is not what I believe in is hate speech, anything that is not what I believe in is sexist, misogynistic, whatever you want to call it, you know, in this context. And that's kind of scary. You know, like I remember I couldn't fall asleep one night because I was like, you know, man, maybe they're going to, you know, come for my job or something like that. I mean, you know, we're using our own names. We have our pictures out there. You know, we have links to our social media and stuff. And you know, there's always that risk, but at the end of the day, you know, we don't hate anybody. First of all, that is always going to be our thing. You know, we don't hate anybody. We're not trying to put women back into the slavery of domesticity or whatever the heck that they, you know, think that it was. But you know, realistically, speaking the truth in a prudent and just manner, which I believe what we're doing, and you know, we're always getting better at that, but I believe that is what we're doing, and we're doing it decently well. That's something that is a manly thing to do. And particularly in the times of great injustices and great evil, which I think it's actually very clear to say, you know, there's kind of a primordial good versus evil battle happening kind of in the world right now. We won't get too much into that, but you know, I think it's more than ever important for men to speak up, you know, in these times.
Another thing I just thought of is that we live in a very puritanical time. And I guess it kind of relates to what I was saying before, but, you know, there's this whole idea of people have to be perfect. Like, if someone isn't perfect, they need to be publicly chastised, you know, lose their job, or this and that. But, you know, none of us are perfect. some of us have wrong opinions, bad opinions. I don't think that everything I believe I guess I do think everything I believe is correct, but I realize that I don't know everything, so that I have to learn. But I think that part of this ties into our whole, I'm not exactly sure how to phrase it, but, you know, we're a very democratic society, and we've gotten to the point where everything is focused on the federal level. Like, there is no notion of local, local choices, local decision making. You know, if something's wrong, we have to enforce that on the entire country. And I think that's why people have these types of reactions, because they look out there and they say, okay, well, you know, there's, you know, 25% of people believe this, or maybe 70% or whatever the percentage is, you know, and they're going to vote against me. And so that means, and those people, they're going to vote on the federal level to try to control everything that everyone in the country wants to do. And therefore I have to oppose them. I have to, you know, fight them. I have to make them lose their job and change their ways, because if I don't, they're going to come for me. And that's just ridiculous. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe that just shows how much that they want to have political power foisted on people and those types of things imposed at the top level. But I don't know, I guess we're getting pretty political here. But I think that there's this whole loss of responsibility. We're putting the responsibility onto someone that lives far away, and they're going to be responsible of like millions and millions of people, and they're going to decide what those people do. Instead of let's take responsibility for ourselves. Let's grow in virtue. Like, I'm going to grow in virtue. Hey, you want to grow in virtue with me? That's great. If we do that together, you know, we're going to create a virtuous community. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? Instead, I think when you don't do that, and I'm sure people who are voting, like, yeah, they're trying to do that too. Although I don't see much evidence of that, but
right.
You know, it's something that we need to do, because the solution, you know, even if you do a top-down solution, it doesn't change people. It doesn't change individuals. It just makes people upset and makes people lash out.
You know, I think that actually ties into maybe the next segment of this little one-year anniversary debrief, talking about kind of our future plans. Because, you know, what you just described, particularly with the top-down solutions, is for many people a path of least resistance. I mean, democracy is I think much easier than a lot of people think. And, you know, like, getting power is much easier than people think, because power is so spread out. You know, it's very easy for people not just to, use their power in the voting booth, but to gain local power, as you're kind of seeing in current times. Building yourself up, I should say, as a virtuous person, whether you're a man or a woman, is something that's difficult. And it's because, you know, you're building yourself up, and your inertial state is to kind of, you know, basically not do anything. You know, it may be too, particularly in this modern world with, you know, and just speaking to people that, you know, are not babies, people that have grown up in our modern world, your inertial state's probably towards, you know, a whole host of sins or passions, you know, whether it's sexual ones or whether it's, you know, laziness or lies or things like that. You know, our society has not exactly cultivated a breed of virtuous men and women. And that's what I'm excited about, because, you know, we've talked about and we've structured, particularly our first series, our very long first series, which was like 25 or 30 episodes on the cardinal virtues. We've talked about, you know, misconceptions. We've talked about prerequisites. And then we've given all of you guys, for all four of the cardinal virtues, ways that you guys can practice that today. Now, obviously, nothing's perfect. And you know, it's really hard to kind of legislate how to become a virtuous person, because virtue is not just a list of rules. It's not just a habit, as St. Thomas, you know, Aquinas points out. It's a lot deeper than that, and it takes a lot more than that. And, you know, we're excited still, because we're going to be coming out later this year with some updated guides on our website that can really, give give people that are just tuning in, maybe to this episode or episodes down the line or episodes at the beginning, to kind of like basically starter's guides for virtues, just written out, you know, PDF form. And I got a couple of other plans for things like that that are related, you know, how to be a virtuous husband, how to be a virtuous father, and all, things like that. And, you know, there's going to be a lot more developments and there's going to be a lot more announcements. So definitely stay tuned. But I think kind of in the short term, you know, you and I after this episode, or not after this episode, I should say, but after this series that we're doing right now on feminism and its pros and cons, to say the least, is, you know, we're going to be getting into the three theological virtues, which are very important. And knowing us, we'll probably do about 20 episodes between the three of them, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
But I'm excited, too, because, you know, like the first theological virtue we're going to touch on is love, and it's sometimes called charity. But realistically, you know, when we're going to be talking about that, we're going to be talking about it in kind of a very divine sense as well. And, you know, kind of like what C.S. Lewis talks about in the book, The Four Loves. But we're also going to be talking about it in the sense of male friendship, because men don't really have friends. Men really have like acquaintances nowadays, and a lot of men, unfortunately, don't even really have that. And that's a sad thing, because, you know, men need not just friends, men need brothers. Men need people that, you know, as Stephen Mansfield would point out in a lot of his writings, you know, they're going to support you and they're also going to call you out on your bullshit. And I guess this is going to be an explicit episode. But you know, we need that, because we cannot, as much as we want to with the imagery of picking ourselves up by our bootstraps, we cannot do that. Individualism is really just a breeding ground for disaster in so many respects. And, you know, I think, Brian, you and I are successful. You know, we are as successful as we are in our own personal lives, as well as our own public lives, because of our, you know, our relationship with each other, as well as our relationship with men in our communities, you know, locally, since you live in New York and I live in North Carolina. And I think that's a really big part of, you know, the importance of becoming a good man is having these good communities, these good brothers that can support you and call you out when you need it.
Absolutely. And I think that just goes to show you where our priorities are as far as, you know, freedom, politics. You know, it's more important to us to help men grow in virtue, to help men form a brotherhood, than it is to go out and protest something and try to get the government to create a law to force this on people. I don't think that's a good idea. And so I don't think you have to worry about us doing that, because what we're here to do is to help men, and hopefully if some women listen as well, to help them realize, you know, their ability to grow in virtue and the ability to form friendships with other men to do that as well. I think, so like, for example, if we look to our episodes on feminism, like, I believe that if a woman gets married and she wants to have kids, she should stay home with the kids. Am I going to go out and make a law that like makes that required? No, but I think I am going to promote that idea because I think it's true. And I think that's what we're doing here in general, is just trying to promote what we believe is going to help families, help men to grow in virtue, and help men to grow brotherhoods who support those virtues.
A great image that I like, and this really is, I think, reflected in like our growth, particularly recently in the podcast, is what we've been doing is we are planting seeds, you know, into various different plots in a field. And, you know, and this is the same seeds that have been planted in us. And we hope that these will sprout and produce good little hubs, you know, good little families, good little communities, and just good little men in general, maybe little, but you know what I mean. because, you know, realistically, that is where societal change comes from. The Roman Empire was only great. The Roman Empire with all its, you know, laws and regalia and stuff was only great because of the men that made it. You know, and that's why to them, the mythos, or maybe not mythos, maybe the history of Romulus and Remus, you know, it was such an important thing to them, because it was something that was tactile. You know, it was something that they could point back to and say, okay, these men made it. These men made it great, you know, and having that living history in a sense was what enabled them to grow, not just, you know, militaristically, but grow culturally, grow legally, grow politically, and grow to be, you know, basically the empire that has left the most, may not have been the biggest, but it has without a doubt left the most indelible mark on at least Western civilization. And, you know, we're not trying to start the new Roman Empire right here. We're not even trying to, as Brian said, you know, change political opinions. But what we do believe is that if we can plant the seeds of virtuous men in different communities across the country, whether it's the, you know, 30 odd states or whatever it was of, that have listened to us, or across the world even, you know, or in your churches or, you know, what have you, we believe that these men and their families and their communities and then their local governments, you know, by extension, all these other things, they can be forces for good in a world which is very divided, that's very fractured right now. And I think that is our political position. We should start a party, Brian.
I'm planning to start reading St. Augustine's City of God probably in a few days here. And I think that his position on empires, governments, nations, whatever you want to call it, is somewhat similar to what our position is. Like, a nation will last for a period of time, an empire will last for a period of time, and then it will decline, and then something else will come about. And so there's no government that's going to last forever. Sure, we try to work and make sure that it's a good government. We work to do what we can to make our country, the place that we live, our local city, town, whatever it is, to be a good place to live, a place of order and justice. But at the end of the day, at the end of your life, at the end of, you know, the world, you know, those things don't matter. What matters is the city of God, you know, things that are eternal. What matters is people who are seeking to live good and virtuous lives. Because when you have that, when you have people working together to live virtuous lives, it doesn't matter if the government's crumbling around you. I mean, yeah, it's not a good thing. But, you know, those people are going to create a good society, you know, whether or not the government, you know, whatever the government is, whether it's a democracy or a monarchy or whatever it is, like, those people, if they're good people working together, they're going to make a good society. They're going to make a good a place to live, and that's what we're working for.
Absolutely beautifully put. And, you know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we have coming up, you know, besides the series and kind of the guides that we've been talking about. We don't want to give away too much because we definitely want to keep all you guys on the hook. One of the things I will say, you know, Brian, you and I are talking about this on the show. We've been doing this for a year. You know, we've been making a little bit of money with ad revenue and stuff. If you really, you know, if you enjoy this, if you are edified by this, if you think other people would be edified by this, I think the best thing that you guys can do is, you know, share the show, leave us a rating and review, share it, you know, with your friends, or even just talk about like these concepts like a virtue or about the feminism or about male, female, and biological differences with your friends, or like in your small communities or things like that. That's, you know, that's priority number one. If you want to help us out though in any other way, we actually, you know, we're open for donations on our anchor.fm page, and we'll put a link below, but it's basically just anchor.fm/vitalmasculinity. There's a little donate button. We pay about $11 a month for hosting, so about $132 a year. You know, we've had some other expenses. It would be great if we could get some, you know, money just to go towards that. And any money that we have gotten with ad revenue has gone into the show, you know, the meager amount covering some of the other things. And you know, it's just important to us to continue doing this. We will continue doing this even if we don't get any money, but it's always nice. So that will be our once in a while asking for it. I think the other thing that I will say with that actually is, you know, Brian, you and I have also been talking about potentially, you know, I'll say the midterm, you know, not long term, but not short term per se. You know, potentially producing, you know, more content more frequently and then putting it behind a paywall like with Patreon or one of those alternate services. You know, we don't want to keep our core content, which is about becoming a virtuous person, away from the general population, because we think, like we said with the whole seeds analogy, that is our mission. This is our vocation, and continuing to do that, continuing to put out content related to that, related to, you know, becoming a man, and not just kind of, you know, kitschy stuff about chopping wood or, you know, going to the gym and, you know, deadlifting 500 pounds or whatever. you know, like we're always going to continue doing that. But if you have any ideas, or if you would be interested potentially in, you know, maybe more frequent content that is behind a little bit of a paywall, definitely let us know, because we are always open for suggestions. We are always open for feedback. And whether it's something about the way we talk or how we talk, we certainly have come a long way, I think, from our first episodes in terms of audio quality. Or, you know, whether it's content suggestions for our journal, for this, you know, suggestions for our group. We are always evolving. We are always expanding. And we are really always doing it with your continued support that we have seen, especially so over the past couple of weeks. So thank you again for that, I should add.
Maybe we can transition here for a little bit and bring it to a more personal note. So I'm curious if we could talk about what are some things over the past year, maybe some major life events or things you've been working on over the past year, Stephen?
I think the big one, which we did an episode on, which is I got married. I definitely don't want to leave that out, since I know my wife and mother-in-law listen to the show, and I will definitely get an earful for that if I wouldn't leave that out. But that really has been the biggest thing. It's been without a doubt an interesting year. You know, if you were to tell me that a year ago that, you know, I mean, I knew I was going to be married. God willing, I knew I was going to be married, you know, 3 months from then at the end of September. But if you told me, you know, I would be have been working from home for going on month four, you know, and that looks like, you know, indefinitely. Actually, I think when we started this podcast, I was still at my old job. I transitioned to a new job in July, which is another big thing. If you would have told me that, you know, there would be a global pandemic, that there would be the, you know, national instability that there is and the local instability that there is, if you'd have told me that I would, you know, have, you know, moved and done all these things, like gotten a Greyhound, like, you know, and these are trivial things. But I think the biggest thing that I have actually learned throughout all of these, big or small, is kind of the ability to reflect and be grateful. I think, you know, I've mentioned this before on the show, like, for me, reflection's always been tough, and I don't know why. I'll go through spurts with journaling and such. I'm kind of doing that right now with Exodus 90 a little bit, just trying to, at the very least, do, like, a nightly examine of my day. I've been doing that pretty successfully, knock on wood. But, like, for whatever reason, I think I just took a lot of things for granted. I definitely took a lot of things for granted. I shouldn't say I think. I know I did. And there's been a lot of wake-up calls recently, the first thing being getting married and, you know, having to adjust to living with someone, planning out a future together in more ways than just, you know, we did before we were married and we were engaged or dating. And I'm trying to think if there's really anything else. I've definitely learned a lot. I've read a lot related to the content that we've been putting together. I could talk about some of the, you know, the back behind the scenes things that I've learned, whether it's about the website or whatnot. But like I mentioned, I think the biggest thing really has just been the power of reflection and the change that it can create when you are reflecting and then you're looking ahead and saying, okay, I'm going to do this, or I can do this better. And that level of, you know, kind of like repentance in a way. But I will ask the same question of yourself. What has been something that you've learned? What's been something that, you know, you realized has been good? What's been something you realized has been bad? Or how have you just changed as a man over the past year?
I would have to say, if I could put it into one word, it would be focus. Okay. I've been working a lot on focusing. In several different areas. So just not being distracted by so many things like social media, the news, and, you know, that's still a struggle, but I'm working on it. Trying to not buy 1,000 books a year. You know, trying not to even read, you know, as many books as I have been reading, although, to be honest, I feel like I'm probably reading more than I should be. Might have to have an episode on that, because some people are probably like, what? How is that possible? But yeah, just trying to focus my life. I think probably in the last year or so, I don't know if it was been exactly the last year, but I worked on making a budget. I know you mentioned like Betterment and Acorns, and I've been using that. I've saved up probably almost a third for a deposit on a house. I've saved up money for a wedding, hopefully they'll happen someday. but yeah, I'm just really focused on you know, preparing for the future, being ready if that should happen. Been doing a lot on my work skills. I feel like so I graduated from college in 2011, and you know, so I've been working for almost 10 years now, and I feel like a lot of people that can just like float through and just, you know, go with the flow and just do whatever the work they send you, and it's not really a career. It's not really, you're not really like focused on improving your skills, improving yourself, and making it a craft. And so that's what I've been trying to do this year, is to actually take pride in my work and actually think about how I can improve that as well. A couple other things is, if you've listened to our episodes over the past year, you probably noticed that I had a girlfriend, and then I didn't have a girlfriend, and then I had another girlfriend, and then we just broke up. It's probably almost 2 months now, a month and a half ago. So yeah, any single ladies out there, I am looking for a nice, you know, young, maybe mid-20s Catholic, traditional Catholic woman who, you know, perhaps wants to stay at home. So if you're out there, let me know.
You are correct. You have revealed that our next big project is to make Vital Masculinity into part podcast, part dating site.
Yeah, so one more thing is that I'm considering moving, and I love my community here. I love the state of New York, other than the politics. But I mean, the state's beautiful. The Adirondacks with all the mountains, and I got plenty of parks here in Rochester. Great place to live, other than politics, which is one of the reasons I'm thinking of moving. But you know, also maybe I need to move to meet someone and get married, and that's one of my top priorities. So yeah, we'll see what happens in that over the next year, I guess. But yeah, that's what I've been working on in the past year.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about that because you brought up moving, and Jessica and I, you know, our lease on our townhome expires in, oh gosh, I'm going to say it's the end of January. It may be the middle of January, but you know, we're talking 6 months from now. And we were pretty adamant to ourselves beforehand that we were not going to renew it, that we were going to buy a home. And a lot of things, you know, in the past 4-5 months have changed that have enabled me to, you know, not just have to buy a home that's close to work with you know, the working from home and that shift, but really also to even think beyond that and just kind of a simple, well, we'll buy a home because it's close to my job or, you know, my career and yada, yada, yada. Because, you know, we really have to do think long. We really do need to think long term. I don't know if that sentence made sense in English, but we're trying to think longer term, you know, providing good communities for our children, seeing a lot of the instability, including locally. You know, there was a lot of rioting that was, you know, less than a mile from my house. I have pictures on my phone of, you know, broken windows across from where I work, which is a very, you know, it's not downtown by any means. You know, and I'm getting brought back to our episode, our interview with Scott Smith, of Catholic Nerds, and a whole host of other amazing content that he's created. And he really talked about like how he and his family are doing some like we called it like intentional deliberate living. And I know we talked about that kind of with our interview on parenting with Todd Duncan as well. And I really think, you know, that that's something that as a family, not as much as a man, but really as a family unit so far, Jessica, my wife, and I have been kind of trying to figure out. Because deliberate living, you know, is easy when everything is swimming and, you know, the life is good. And, you know, in the past 4 months, my wife got a job and then she got laid off because of coronavirus. And coronavirus hit and now there's political instability. And it's at a point where, you know, the future is a lot less certain than, you know, what it was. The economy's been up and then it's been down. And then it's been up again and now today it's down again, you know. And with that being said, I think it actually has given us a lot of peace knowing that we have the power to, you know, kind of do what we'd like in a certain sense. Like, you know, we don't need to just be beholden to one job. We don't need to just be beholden to, you know, oh, well, we should stay here or, you know, we need to do these things. And it's kind of, you know, scary thinking about, you know, potentially moving to another state or moving to an area that we've not been before. But, you know, we're thinking about it a lot. We're praying about it a lot. We're reflecting about it a lot as well. I've been doing a lot of journaling and you know, kind of just time meditating on that stuff. And that's been really, really nice to have because, you know, if you can change your, you know, location, if you can change where you live, if you can change, you know, anything really about your life, you can change the sheets on your bed, you can change your job, you know, whatever, whether it's big or small, you can change, you know, the person you are. And that's really comforting that you can choose to become virtuous. It's not something that is, you know, a matter of, you know, you're born with it or you're not born with it. And that's something that's also, like I said, very comforting as, you know, you and I, as well as, you know, my wife and I, continue to struggle to become more virtuous people.
Yeah. I think this whole coronavirus thing has helped me to focus, to put things in perspective. Not that I want a global pandemic to go on, but I think most people, you've been staying at home, working from home, hopefully. But, you know, everyone's been staying home. And I think it's helped me realize that I don't want to, you know, I already don't do as many things as most, like, the average American does. Like, I try not to go out to eat. I don't go to the movies. You know, someone called me the other day and was like, hey, you want to get our streaming service? And I was like, no, actually, I try not to watch TV or movies. And they didn't understand that. but it's, I think I realized that I want to, like, try to avoid that stuff even more. I know it sounds probably crazy to some people out there. But I think what's important to me is spending time with family, spending time, you know, and it's not even so much saving money, but I don't need to go out to eat. Like, I can make my own food. I can make food for my friends, or if I want to go on a date or something, I can have her over and make dinner for her. You know, there's so many things that you don't need to go out and do. And honestly, it's better to not always be going out and on the run. At least from my perspective, because I look at, like, the movies that they're churning out, and okay, like, maybe 1% of them are good, but most of them are trash. Like, so do I really want to support that? Do I want to be going out and supporting these people who, you know, are opposed to virtuous living? I don't think I do. So, yeah, I think this whole time has helped me realize that, A, I don't want to be living in a city with a bunch of people packed in together that if we have some pandemic, I have to worry about not being able to go anywhere. And B, I don't want to have to worry about riots. And C, I just want to have a slower pace of life because I think that is what promotes virtue. It promotes contemplation, reflection. And those things are very important for virtue. And if you're always on the run, always doing things, always looking for the latest novelty, I think you're going to have a hard time growing in virtue, and maybe that's a lot of thing. That's something that a lot of us men need to rethink about where our priorities are.
Crazy as it may seem, you know, my wife and I canceled our Netflix and our Amazon Prime and, you know, all these other things, which are so-called conveniences of the modern world. You know, and we did it for a lot of reasons, mainly our stances against the company, or the stances of the company, I should mention. But you're absolutely right, man. And I think really we should bring back the Daily Deed for this episode. I know we'll be having some, I believe, once we get into some more practical episodes like our theological virtue ones. But I think a good Daily Deed, if we were to have one, and, you know, you should do this, is to reflect upon, you know, what you're consuming. The media you're consuming, the frequency of the media you're consuming. I don't just mean television or the internet. I mean books as well, like, you know, Brian mentioned before. And, you know, think about what you can afford to cut out. Think about, you know, how you could potentially use that time better. And think about if it's really adding things to your life. You know, if you're not happy, if you're struggling with things and you are doing the same thing over and over again, I mean, that goes back to Albert Einstein's classic definition of insanity, is, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting change to happen. Sometimes it does take drastic change to create drastic change. And by just taking some time for reflection and focusing in on the problems as well as, you know, your current activities and where you want to be, that's a really great way to start.
One idea I have, which I wish people would bring back, is there used to be this group, I don't know exactly when it was, maybe like the 30s or 40s. It was a Catholic group called the Legion of Decency, I believe. And basically, it was a bunch of Catholics who got together, lots of Catholics, maybe even most Catholics. And they said, hey, Hollywood's coming out with these movies. We're not going to watch them, and we're going to actively boycott them. And I don't know, maybe we need like a Legion of Decency for Virtue, because I mean, just thinking about the things that they probably boycotted back then would probably be considered PG today. It's just, that's just how far our society has gone. And I know we talked about, you know, being against cancel culture, but, you know, there's one thing by making a statement and saying, hey, we're not going to watch this trash. And I think that's really the only way that it's going to get into these companies' minds, because, you know, if, yeah, I can cancel my Netflix and that's great. Like, I don't want to support that company. But, you know, if I just do that and they don't know why and, you know, it's just one person, like, is that really going to change society? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe if we all do that, it would. But I think we kind of need to get together and say, hey, let's make a statement and at least tell people we're not watching this garbage and we don't think you should either. It's not that we have to get people fired or, like, you know, get them arrested or something like that. But, you know, it's time, I think, for people who recognize the importance of virtue to actually not just hide and be the silent majority, but actually just stand up and show some fortitude and show people that, hey, we're not going to listen to this crap anymore.
Absolutely, man. I think that is probably a very good way to end this celebratory episode, which actually Cook, I don't want to say a somber term, but it took a much more serious note than I think you and I were anticipating. But I think this was a very good conversation. We covered a lot of bases, which means we will not need to talk about them in future episodes. We can always just refer back to this. But with all that being said, do you have any final thoughts, sir? Or shall I do the conclusion?
Yeah, I do have one final thought.
Go ahead.
And it just really ties into our whole mission here. Virtue makes the man. And we're going to end the episode on that note. But it's really what's most important here. We believe in this mission. That's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we're doing this whole project. That's why we've been working on this for a year now, over a year. And that's why we're going to continue to work on it. You know, whether or not you donate or not, like, it would be great if you supported us. But we believe in this mission. And, you know, I believe that it's essential to the existence of our society. It's essential to our existence as men, and it's something that I'm going to work on for the rest of my life, and yeah, let's keep going.
I can't add much, so I will say thank you all again, and we look forward to another year. Have a good one.